the airport committee meeting for Wednesday, the 13th of August at 12:30 PM. And in doing so, I respectfully acknowledge the Kariyarra people on whose land we meet today, their leaders past, present and future, for their contribution to the betterment of the town of Port Hedland. So welcome everybody. Thank you very much, Ken, for dialing in. All right, recording of attendance and apologies. We have, that's 2.1, we have those listed with the exception of a correction to the apologies list that the presiding member is indeed present and presiding over this meeting. So we'll include that name. Item 2.3, approved leave of absence. There is nil. Moving on to item 3, responses to previous questions taken on notice. 3.1, questions from public at the airport committee meeting held on Wednesday the 4th of June. There were nil. 3.2, questions from committee members at airport committee meeting held on Wednesday 4th of June 2014. Mayor Howlett, are you happy with the response that's given there? Mm-hmm. Any comments? I'd like to make a comment, if I may, please. Just in relation to the question being tabled at the Pilbara Airport group meeting, there being no interest from Karratha, doesn't preclude the town of Port Hedland advertising on our website or Facebook that if the residents of the town, the city of Karratha, are interested in a travel service, if they express their interest, then the town will review whether we should send a shuttle bus down there, because while the airport might say that they're not interested, the residents might be interested. So I'd like to make that comment.
If I can, Madam Chair, now reflecting on it and reflecting on my question, I don't think the intent, and certainly we can check the recording, the intent wasn't for the town to provide the shuttle service, because they're shuttle service operators.
Yep.
I just thought in terms of us facilitating and encouraging someone to do the shuttle service, but also I'm not sure if it was this forum or the council meeting where I asked about the discounted parking and having parking and to explore opportunities for parking for Newman and Karratha. So I forget which meeting, but it seems to have been lost. I don't know where the answer is.
I believe the meeting was an ordinary council meeting that you asked that question at with regards to discount parking. So perhaps we can take that on notice and find out where we are with that. But the comment around advertising for somebody interested in doing that, I think that's a commercial venture. The Director of Engineering's got an update on that?
Just on the Newman and Karratha, we were getting, we needed something to base it off. So before I left, we were getting the numbers, ratepayer numbers, from both Newman and Karratha.
Mm-hmm.
And then also looking at how our system would handle that, how would process it, whether you sent something out or whether they came in here and were refunded, and it might be easier to refund. So it was just working on how that would work.
So it might work whereby they provide you with the receipt and we refund that way?
The receipt and proof of where they were from. So if they were a ratepayer from Newman or a ratepayer from Karratha, just some sort of...
Sure.
I don't believe my intent was just to limit it to ratepayers. I think if you've got a driver's license or an energy bill or something, it shows you live somewhere.
Yeah, just something like that. Just something to say where they're from. Yeah, it could be anything like that.
So do we require an action and a motion from this committee to follow that through?
Well, I'd like to see the report of that.
Thank you. Joe, you happy with those?
Sorry, who moved the second?
I'll move.
Move Mayor Howell and second to Jen. Councillor Right. Okay, moving to item 4, public time. Just an important note that this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon the request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland local law on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. I note that there are no public in the gallery, so if I may suggest that bring 4.1 public question time to a commencement and an end, along with public question time 4.2 statement time at 12:47, and open them and close them at the same time. Item 5, question from members without notice. I'll start to my right. Flo.
I do.
Yes.
It's not so much a question, but just to bring up that I've been in contact with a gentleman named Bruce Duckham. He's a lawyer, basically a barrister, solicitor in Perth, and he's very much basically looking into chartering a possibility of a flight to Vietnam from Port Hedland. Now, I've already redirected him to the council as well as to the airport. But I'm not quite sure whether he has gotten in contact with any of them. At the moment, I'm just dealing with him and assisting him in what sort of price range, you know, would be profitable to them and stuff like that, and how he would market it and what the interest is. But he seemed very, very interested, but yeah, whether he's gotten in contact with the council, I'm not quite sure.
That's fabulous news. I might refer that to the Director of Airport Redevelopment, and perhaps you can give him the information and have a discussion with him offline to follow through with that.
Two emails that he sent me. I haven't yet.
So that's from Vietnam?
Yeah.
Charter
service.
That's fabulous news.
Yeah.
Any comments?
I was going to say, I'll make some initial comments. I'll follow him up and chat to him. Whatever charter service he looks to establish would have to have an aviation operator's license as approved by CASA, so there's an application process. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a carrier that's already operating into and out of Australia. But I can put him through that. So basically, you would normally make an application. You'd have to satisfy all of the safety requirements that CASA would put upon you as an aviation operator to make sure that public safety is maintained. And if they tick those boxes, then that aircraft could operate into and out of Australia. So there's that formal federal government process that needs to be gone through as well. But I can assist him with the contacts in that regard.
That's really exciting news. Well done.
If it is Vietnam Airlines, they are already flying into Australia,
They may already have an operator's license.
Coast.
Yeah.
Really?
But that's okay. As long as they've got an operator's license, they would need to notify CASA of any new service or any charter service, but it's not a complicated process.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So we'll have an action there for you to follow through with. Okay. Councillor Butson.
Yes, I'm just wondering if we've actually got an update on the airport machines being stolen, and is anything being put in place to hope this doesn't reoccur again?
Thank you, Councillor Butson. I'll refer that on to the acting CEO.
Okay, so Russell, feel free to jump in at any point. In terms of the replacement machines, they're on schedule to be delivered on Monday. They take about 24 hours to then have operational. So we're looking at introducing, reinstating paid parking from about 6 a.m. Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. Any vehicles that are currently in the car park at that time will be issued with a parking ticket dated 6 a.m. Wednesday morning, and will just pay on their way out. Mm-hmm. Free parking. For the most part, with the exception of a handful of cars, people have been very good about adhering to the intent of short-term and long-stay parking, which is quite pleasing. In terms of ensuring that this doesn't happen again, we're strengthening the bollards and also putting them closer together. I suppose any time that you've got those sort of cash accepting machines, there is always a risk that they will be targeted, and we've probably seen a few incidents of a similar nature over recent weeks. But we'll obviously, by strengthening those bollards, it minimises the opportunity for particular types of plant equipment to be accessing those areas.
Okay, and my second question is, are we probably going to change the times that this money's sort of empty? So rather than being emptied in the mornings, maybe being emptied in the afternoon, so we don't have such a big amount of money sitting in the machines?
Just be mindful of the fact that we're in an open forum at this point in time, and it's probably not appropriate to discuss cash handling in a public forum. We can provide a response to elected members online, other than to say that we're reviewing all cash handling procedures at those sites.
Okay.
Thank you. Cool. Yep. So happy with that, Councillor Butson?
Yep.
Thank you,
Sue. Following on from Councillor Butson's information on that, I don't think we have a caretaker at the airport, do we? Is that correct?
We have three houses.
Living out there, but not actually sort of in the position of caretaking. I know that once, for example, through the chair, when you have air conditioners running, whether it's a warm air or cold air, it's very difficult to hear what does go on outside there. And with all the passing heavy trucks, I should imagine the sound is just rumbling along all the time there, would sort of detract from any sort of loud happening sort of going on. But is that something we need to look at in the future of a caretaker person for that night shift?
It's probably security.
So I might refer that to the acting CEO, but my understanding before I do so is that there is security patrols that occur there.
Not at night.
Cool. Okay, so let's refer that to the CEO.
Through you, Madam Chair, I guess it's that balance between resources and how much it might cost you to provide those patrols versus the risk of an incident. The town's invested heavily in CCTV equipment, which in the event of something going wrong will hopefully help police in terms of tracking down the offenders. We do have a number of staff on site, so that if there was something serious, then they should be alerted to it, but understand that the noise may make that difficult. I suppose it's around that crime prevention and education space as well, but again, balancing an isolated incident against going for a full-time caretaker.
I was going to say, and we haven't spoken to Saeva yet, but whether there's any way of alarm style set up in that new in the machine set up, whether it's whether it sends back through to a phone or so there might be some opportunity to do something like that. So if there's starting to be the machine starting to be hit, it will send out.
So just on that point, Acting CEO, can we make a recommendation that in the new machine or any installation has some process to secure that and along the item the point just made by Russell regarding having some sort of alarm set to it so that there is an indication that it's been attacked?
Certainly, we can investigate their technology, and if they've got that option on there, we can certainly seek to have it implemented. If it doesn't have that technology, then I guess we'd be suggesting it to Saeva as a product improvement that they could make on future versions of their machines.
Can we make a... asking the question, but is there a sensor-type security system that's available that outside of this hours it would trigger it? Why would anyone be going near a pay machine outside of those operational hours? That's something that we can do, surely, even if that model's not available as yet, if that technology is not available to the pay station itself, then perhaps we should look at securing it by installation of some sensor type thing that does link up to an alarm. So could we make that as a recommendation to, or somebody to bring back some information? And then we can make a recommendation based on what the information that's been returned. Are we happy with that?
Because just the terminals alarm. I imagine a lot of the businesses out there, private businesses that operate, have security alarms.
Just on that question, do we have an understanding of what sort of value was inside of the machine when it was? Have we got that indication as yet?
Sorry, I missed that word.
to you, Alma, do we have an understanding of how much was in the machine when it was...
I'm not sure that we have an exact figure because I believe Sabre need to do some retrieval of the reporting from the system. Again, in terms of that figure, I've been reluctant to talk about it.
So we could... Form. So we will have that reported back to elected members?
Another question, if I may, Madam Chair, as following on from what Flo was saying about the charter flight from, to and from Vietnam, I know that we do have had charter flights in the past to Bali. People have chartered and gone over the functions now. Do we have many other inquiries from other airlines at the moment that want to sort of do a similar thing or come in? Is there any, what's new on the block? Sort
of, I might refer that question over to the Director of Airport Redevelopment.
Thank you. Thank you. The short answer is no. No, we don't. We don't get a lot of inquiry from airlines from overseas wanting to come into Port Hedland. We have had a recent inquiry more around the freight space, so around Antonovs. potentially coming in directly. The issue currently at the moment for the Antonov is when it comes in with mining equipment, sometimes it's second-hand and it needs to be washed for quarantine purposes. So currently it goes via Darwin or via Perth at a cost of $150,000 a sector. So they're saying it would be really good if we could investigate maybe purchasing washdown equipment. I've contacted Darwin Airport just to follow this one through, and they actually don't provide the washdown equipment. It's actually provided by the port. So I'm going to be catching up with customs just to see what customs quarantine, just to see what facilities they might have at the port. That's a little bit off track, but that's the sort of inquiry we've had around freight and bringing in international freight.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you. My last one was. Anything had come back regarding the advertising of our community member, new community member for the airport committee? Will we be presented with anything today, or will that come at the next meeting?
Yep, I'm happy to. I was going to leave that for announcements later on. Would you like
that? Okay, you can leave it later on.
That's
fine.
I'll give you an update on how that's going.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks all.
Cool.
Thank
no
you.
Worries. Councillor Hunt?
No questions, Madam Chair.
Dr. King, are you there? Dr. Livingston?
So I am here, I'm observing.
Oh, you're observing, okay. Any questions?
My participation is about observing. I don't have any questions. Thank you,
Brian. Thank you. Okay, well, we'll move on to... I've got a couple of questions, if I may, please. With regards to the airport redevelopment, currently the traffic out the front is still... a bit of an issue, and where the arrivals exit is, people don't actually walk to the crosswalk. They're actually pulling all of the stuff, you know, just walking straight over the road and pulling their luggage and bags and everything over the landscaping. Is there we talked about doing some traffic work about a year and a half ago. So is there anything on the plan there? If I may direct that question to either yourself, Brett, or Russell?
It directed to me, that's fine. We've allocated a sum of money in this budget to look at traffic management issues. About $1 million has been put into the budget to potentially bring forward some of the traffic improvements that have been tabled in the future concepts, such as roundabouts. We haven't in truth detailed in terms of traffic management, but I was just thinking when you were talking, Chairman, that we could actually put across the front of the terminal railings like they have at Perth Terminal, so that you basically cross on the crosswalk. So that could be an inexpensive solution.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
To channeling them to the specific crosswalks in question. So we could certainly look at that. As I said, we do have a sum of money in the budget for those sorts of things.
Fantastic. So could I make a recommendation that you bring that back and for us to recommend reviewing that at the earliest opportunity?
I'll catch up with the Director of Infrastructure and we can.
Fabulous. And the other thing is also around the exterior landscaping. Do we have an update on that, Director?
Can I take that one on notice for now? I am catching up with Lindsay this week, Lindsay Piper, just to see where the design he was doing a redesign for the scope for the landscaping work. So I just need to catch up with him to see where he's got to on that one. So sorry, I don't have an answer for this
morning. Cool, no worries. That's all the questions I have. So we'll move on to item 6, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business papers presented before the meetings. May I have a show of hands, please? Yep, so showing 2, 4, 6. Thank you very much. Okay, item 7, with the typo of previous meeting corrected. We'll move on to 7.1, confirmation of minutes of the Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday the 4th of June 2014. May I have a... Are there any points of clarification?
No points, so no.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Thank you, Flo Bennett. Right. Item 8, announcement by presiding members without discussion. Okay, I do have several things that I'd like to announce, and the first one being that the airport manager Ian McKay has left his position with the town. His position was filled on a temporary basis and his contract was due to finish in 2.5 weeks. So in the interim period, the Director of Engineering, Russell Dyer, will oversee the operations and the running of the Port Hedland International Airport with the assistance of the Program Director of Airport Redevelopment. So just to advise everybody that there will be a recruitment process and that will occur next week once the position data form has been finalised, and also in that interim period, we won't be... This oversight by Russell and Brett will mean that we won't be needing anyone interim in the place. The new manager will be focused heavily on commercial and business and management qualifications, so therefore they'll bring a more rounded qualification to the decision rather than just operations and compliance. Now, the second thing that I have to announce is that the community committee member, the consideration of the community member vacancy has been removed from this agenda item and will be replaced back in the next committee, airport committee agenda, due to the fact that we advertised during a school holiday period, so there was interest expressed, but the closing period happened before others were able to put in their applications. So the closing period will now be extended by 1 month. The ads will be placed in next week, is that right, Acting CEO? Yes, so they'll go into, they'll be advertised as of next week, and the extension period will be for a month, and then we will consider the committee member vacancy at the next airport committee meeting. The other thing I've also got is the airport project updates. Because we've moved the airport meetings to bi-monthly, and given the activity currently with all the program of works that is happening out at the airport, the program director and myself have fortnightly updates, and I was thinking if that's all right, I'd like to open the updates to the whole committee to attend. These occur on Tuesdays around about
11 o'clock.
Yeah, 11 o'clock-ish. So this will be either a phone-in or a physical if you want, just to get an update on what the works are, how the works are progressing, and if there's any questions or queries you might have, you can have that access to Brett. So Brett will organise that the calendar invites, and all of the airport committee will be invited to sit in on those project updates fortnightly.
Madam Chair, that's a really good initiative. And just wondering through you, in terms of your fortnightly updates, will you provide them on the Friday so then people can look through them on the weekend, send you any questions Monday, sit in on the meeting Tuesday if they need to?
That's the way we currently do it is it's an agenda, so I've got a standard agenda and I add and remove things from the agenda mm-hmm. in as to whether they've been dealt with or as to whether they're ongoing. So that's pretty straightforward. I can provide that the Friday. That's no problem at all.
Right. And then if there's anything late, you'll just...
If there's anything late,
Julie will shoot it.
Julie normally circulates any late items, you know, whether it be a schematic or something that needs to go out, stuff like that.
That's really good.
No worries. All right. So
is everyone happy with that? Do people feel as happy as I do about it? Good. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay. So that's about all I have with regards to announcements. So we'll move on to item 9.
Through the chair, can I just ask a question with one of your... with the vacancy, you know, issue, is there any chance that I suppose in the future that we can be a bit more mindful of like school holidays and that, so we're actually not forking out two lots of advertising and...
Great, very good point. I think Councillor Butson was referring to the fact that if we're mindful about when we place our advertisements and understand for everything around school holidays, etc., it would be probably more cost effective to understand when we should put those ads out rather than just rushing them out and then finding that we have to extend like we are currently. So, great point. Councillor Butson.
And through the chair, did we have many applicants anyway through that first round?
We had expressions of interest, but they hadn't put their applications in. Right. And then there was application received, but because of the expressions of interest, we had the timing of the ad during school holidays, we acknowledge that we should extend it by another month. Anything
thank
else?
You. No,
that's a great you. Point. Thank you. All right, let's move on to item 8. Item 9, petitions, deputations, presentations, and submissions. We have the Program Director of Airport Redevelopment 9.1. Let's go, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. This is obviously just my general presentation on a number of matters that have come up and items that we're working on ongoing. So you'll see that some of the slides are similar to what you would have seen before in the past, and I'll just work through. But basically, we've had an approach by Virgin Australia regarding their international services, the potential upscaling of their international services and some changes to their operations. So I've got some plans and schematics I'm going to take you through just with some of the current thinking about how we're going to accommodate their potential future needs. Redevelopment strategy, I'll touch on that. That's essentially now been completed, but obviously it's in my presentation as a key point. And I just want to talk about really the comm strategy going forward on that. The airport interim improvements program, the Australasian Airport Real Estate Conference, just a bit of an update on what was talked about and what were the subjects that came up in that conference. It was a very interesting conference. And then a quick projects update. Okay, so the change in the... What Virgin Australia want to do is they want to change their aircraft operation from a closed charter operation to... and a full RPT operation, initially for the F100 service, but then going to 737-800 potentially. Nothing set in stone, but we've started to look at the various options to accommodate that in our current terminal. I have spoken to Customs and Quarantine, so the border agencies, about the requirements around this. I have been told that Port Hedland, as an airport, will never be a full RPT international airport because of some restrictions around their current operation. That's the feedback I've had. But that they're more than happy to work with Virgin Australia directly on that and work through the issues. So they use that kind of language and then say, oh, but we're going to work with them on it anyway. So that's going to happen out of Canberra, basically. So Virgin's already engaged with the border agencies on the potential transfer, opening up of that service, best way to put it. They do want to, because of issues at the Bali end with slot availability, they can't sit the aircraft on the ground overnight anymore. Equally, it suits them better to actually fly it in full of passengers. So they're changing around the operation. So they're now flying in with passengers, and then departing with passengers. And this creates some complications when you're using the one bit of space for international services. The F100, as I said, will be moving to a 737-800. And so we'll need to increase the internal area of our space. It's currently 240 square metres. And there's a couple of options where we can take it to 300 square metres, 308 square metres, and 383 square metres. And I'll just run through what those options look like. And we've got some indicative numbers as to the costs of those at the moment. I have discussed with the airlines the possibility of raising passenger charge as well. So I'm not going to go there just yet. So this is the current space as we currently operate. This module is still set to come out here to create a little bit of extra space. But basically, we're looking at 240 square metres of space in here. The constraints around this current space is access to this baggage belt system. But for an F100 service, the feedback has been that the space is working adequately. It's a little bit tight, but it's working adequately. And customs and quarantine and immigration are operating within that space, and they're quite happy with it. They're not unhappy with it, but they can see it can be improved. So that's the feedback we've had from them. So it does cater for an F100 service, and basically the inwards processing area for quarantine is handled in this area here. So option one was actually taking the baggage belt, turning through 180 degrees, reversing the flow. Currently the baggage belt flows in this direction, so we'd reverse the we'd have it run clockwise. The reason for this is because passengers will always wander to the point where the bag first first emerges from behind the wall, so to speak. So we want to encourage passengers to come along and actually, you know, present themselves along this baggage belt. So that's the reason we do that. This creates 300 square metres and actually makes this space a much more user-friendly piece of space, which means we need to do less messing around. Because currently what we do when we transfer from a departing international service to an arriving service is we put out chairs, and it's a departure lounge. We pack the chairs away, put out the tents and barriers, and it's an arrival lounge. So the cleaners do that for us now as an operational matter, and we just need to with this kind of space we can be a little bit more flexible in terms of not having to do quite that amount of work. So it's better space, and we would, you know, I guess concentrate the inwards processing area into that space there. In the next option. In here, where we actually thought, well, we could further improve that space by taking out the interview room and putting it here. And two reasons for doing that. One is if we're going to be arriving passengers first, before we depart passengers, the aircraft's going to have to sit on the ground for about 4 hours because it takes time to process arriving passengers. If customs come across a person of interest, they'll be wanting to interview that person. So, sorry, we need to go back. So, in this situation, if they're interviewing, then they can't process departing passengers because they're needing to use this space to then take the passenger away, whether it's to take the passenger away to jail or whatever they do with them, or whether it's to release the passenger. That could potentially delay the service. So, we looked at taking the interview room out, which gave us a bit more space and actually made it a nice square of space, popping it out here so that any passengers that needed to be interviewed could be interviewed separately and could be dealt with separately, so that you could then start processing your departing passengers. So all of that works quite well while the aircraft's sitting on the ground for a four-hour period. In the next iteration, we looked at, and this is where it becomes quite expensive, we looked at actually poking out the front of the terminal as far as we can to where the current light towers are. And that gives us about another 76, 75 square metres of space down in that zone through there. It also allows presentation to around more of the baggage belt system, and it allows us to have a departure gate down here and sort of creating a logical queuing length and things like that. So it's quite flexible, but it does come at quite a cost. This is around an $800,000 kind of spend, high level at this stage. Virgin has come back and said we want to turn that aircraft around in an hour and a half. We don't want to turn it around in 4 hours due to slot availability at the other end. So this means that, and this is a work in progress, but I'll just show it to you for your information, that we now need to think about how do we process almost in separate areas. And this is a step towards that. This is a low-cost option, but we've already had feedback that this is probably not going to work for them. But I'll talk you through the logic and then tell you what the next steps are from here. In this situation, you would process everyone through the primary line an hour before the arriving aircraft, and then you would board in a primary boarding process 20 minutes before the arriving aircraft, so that by the time the aircraft arrives, you've got everyone in the holding area ready for a secondary boarding process. So that gets them out of here before you arrive the passengers. Then when the arriving passengers have all come in here and they've queued through here and they're in this zone through here and the aircraft is empty, quarantine does an inspection of the aircraft, clears the aircraft, then you can board these passengers while you're processing your arriving passengers. And that can all be managed in about an hour and a half kind of window. But Virgin have also said, because Virgin can be difficult, dare I say that? No, I'm just kidding. They've also said that they might want to do it in an hour. And so they've come back and said, can you really think about having a separate arrivals area? So we're going to meet this week and talk about how we can do that, whether it's a transportable building or whether we use this portion of the operations building potentially. I'm not quite sure if it's got enough space in there, but this space is basically unutilised. And that would be a good use of that space. So we're going to have a look at that. And Russell and I will have a wander through there and have a look at that and just see what we can do with that. But that's probably the next logical step. I don't know how much work's involved because the building's quite old and stuff like that. So all those things need to be investigated. But
maybe keep the director of planning and development in the loop in terms of building and compliance.
And just to explain why not departures and arrivals. If we do it at arrivals, then we do need to move the custom processing areas, but we don't need to have a secondary screening point and stuff like that. So if it was a departures, we'd have to set up screening points and all of that sort of stuff, and it gets complicated. We just don't have the space. But if we can set it up as an arrivals area, it does mean taking this baggage belt and attaching it to the building, but the baggage belt is actually just a portable standalone unit. So that's quite feasible.
That's not an issue.
Yeah, so that's currently where we're at the moment.
Just on that, while you're there, if we discussed the airport operations building, they would exit straight out from onto land side from that building. They wouldn't have to come back in or anything.
No, they can exit straight out. Yeah. Then we'd have to handle how do we move the passengers through to the car parking areas and stuff like that. So that would all have to be thought through.
Yeah.
But that would allow us that land side airside interface quite easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Brett, on that option, we've got this building over here, and why can't we put a corridor and actually maybe do a deal with Virgin that could be like a lounge, the waiting lounge for those ones going out? After they've been, everything's gone right here, and have the operations building as a...
As a holding lounge?
Yeah.
That was thought about as well. Rather than doing this, we could do a holding lounge. This was just a first stage. We were just thinking about how we would manage it.
So this is basically for international.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The reason we weren't going to do this work in the first place is international is 5,000 passengers per annum, and it's very hard to get an economic return from that when you're spending, lowest cost scenario is that $400,000 to $500,000, mm-hmm. and so that's a lot of spend for that many passengers. But this service will see us go to 12,000 to 14,000, and potentially more. It could be a second service potentially in the offing, so that's starting to make a bit more sense in terms of generating a fair return to the town.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, so look, work in progress. At this stage, I thought it was quite timely just to bring that to the committee, just to say, we've had this approach. Nothing set in concrete. We're still working with Virgin on it. It may or may not happen, but it is a good opportunity, I guess, to explore. And the other situation is because of the pressure they're having on the Bali service, we want to make sure we don't lose the service, number one. And so we're trying to accommodate them as best we can.
Well, they've actually been bringing those planes in and out for ages now, haven't they? They haven't held them over there for a long time.
No, well, they hold them over in Bali. They've been doing it for 30-something years, I think.
No, they usually go over and come back and then go over the next day. They haven't held them over in Bali for a long time now. Since the security of the planes. So what they do is they go Perth, Broome, pick Broome people up, come back here, then go across, then bring back, and then go Sunday and go across again and bring back.
So they bring them back empty, basically. Yeah, they must.
They go Perth to Broome, pick up the people from Broome, then come to Port Hedland,
yep.
pick all the staff up, go over there, then they bring people back on the Saturday, and then the plane stays here overnight, and then on Sunday morning you go, they take another lot of people over, and they bring those people back on a Sunday.
Oh yeah, that's their peak season service, that's when they operate.
They do it all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
So through the chair, that means if this is going to change, that means Broome is not, obviously not going to be in the picture.
How do you mean?
Well, if Broome is incorporated at the moment with the aircraft, it's obviously, possibly there's going to be a change.
Yeah, I think they were talking about this aircraft flexing between international and domestic.
Yeah.
But they haven't worked out the details, so I couldn't answer that question for you.
Okay, yeah. So I'm just saying, you know, because that seemed to work quite well, towns like Newman going to ask for the same thing, because it's quite possible they might be able to eventually do an adjoining flight. It's just something to think about.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's stuff that we are thinking about, yeah. All right, I'll better keep moving on because we're running late on time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll jump through this really quickly. It's just really to highlight that's our strategy, that's our key things of consideration within our strategy. So the interim improvements, the services, the strategic reviews, which is the freight logistics areas, operations terminals and car parks, the place planning and the governance review, that's all part of that overarching strategy. That document having now been completed and approved by Council, we're going to do a launch of that document, and we're looking at around the mid-October. At this stage, we're going to try and do it in September, but it was too hard with councillors and everyone just not being available. And we're trying to fit it in with the finish of the interim works on the terminal, so that we can do a sort of a dual launch, and we can do a presentation out at the terminal, and we'll have the Esplanade cater and the like. So I think Julie's put something in the diaries that day has to move, but it's around that week that we'll do something in that space. So unless there's any questions on the program, I was just that's the only reason I've highlighted, just to let you know. Interim improvement program, the terminal secure area extensions. Works will commence, it's actually the 26th. Yes.
Yep, 26th.
Of August, the 18th of June. I didn't realise the slide's out of date, sorry about that. I must have missed updating that, but it's going to start on the 26th of August, and it is in September. There will probably be some works in the cafe that will go into October, but we're talking just some improvements to the cafe flooring and stuff like that. We're just looking at the staging of that at the moment. The bus parking, unless there's any question on the interim improvements, that's all in train. The bus parking, the final paving has been completed, and we're now trialling with the operators different parking positions. We do have a parking plan, but we're just trialling different parking positions because they had some ideas themselves on how they might like to see it work. And once we've got something that works really well, we'll do the line markings and paint that in. The terminal painting, the tenders have all been rejected, none of them complied. So from here, we will now go into quoted. We'll now go in for quotes and direct negotiations. We've got some quotes in on the painting on that at the moment. It was just none of the painters actually came through with anything that resembled a compliant quote, which is unfortunate. There you have it.
So do we have a projected time for that? When it'll come back?
Sorry, I think the report's going to the August meeting to reject the tenders?
No, it's
already been.
No, they should be rejected under...
They've been rejected already. So, no, we don't have to go back to tender. I think it was, and Brett's right, it was understanding the tender that what the painters had provided back in their method of works and what they provided as their submission was not really compliant with and would have probably created problems. Now we've gone through that and rejected all tenders because we don't have to go back to tenders, we can just seek quotes, and it's a lot more clarity around what is required through that quoting process.
So a month? 2 months?
Oh, no, well, they can just go through when it's ready to paint, and we go through it now, and obviously when the areas are going to be painted, then they can be done, so...
Okay.
On the public art, the design brief has been developed. The request for proposal has been on hold pending the budget review. We're reviewing the budget primarily because we had a few things come in that were way over what we thought they would be. The good news is that we've completed that budget review and we're happy with where the budget currently sits. So that can immediately go out basically as a proposal. And it was probably, I'm guessing it's probably a 4-week period, Russell, I'm thinking.
Public art.
It's Anna running it.
Yeah. And then I suppose it depends if I'm choosing a design, making something.
It'll obviously have to come back to the community council anyway for a decision on that one as well. We're just with the shade sales, that was one of the items that's being reviewed because they came in incredibly expensive. The issue was with that was originally the shade sales were going to be attached to the building. It turned out that the building wasn't suitable for the attachment and therefore they became quite expensive. Yep. On that one. The Virgin Improvement Works, I still need to catch up with Lindsay just to work through where he's at with the scope and that. But what he was doing was he was considering the biplane as part of that review and how that's incorporated. I'm hoping to get a look at that this week. The biplane, it seems, is very shiny and very chromed. I believe. Yeah, well, he said chrome, but I wonder about it. He said he doesn't think it's suitable to go outside. So if we do decide to have it outside, we'll have to have a shade structure or something over it, I think. But I'm going to try and take a look at it this week.
Yep. Fred, what I might do, if it's all right with the committee's indulgence, we're running really late here. May I please request that we adjourn the meeting to recommence after these briefings? What's your schedule like?
Won't be able to do it today.
Won't we do it?
Not today. No? You'll have to do a mutually agreed date that people can attend because it is a public meeting, so you do need to advertise it as well.
Right, so I'm really sorry about this committee. There's only one item really that we want to do. If you want to hold the item, just hold your presentation, Brett, and just consider the item, and then we can adjourn the meeting after because there's only one item here for consideration, and that's just to accept the report, project update report.
That's what we were doing. We were talking us through that report.
The report itself is a separate agenda item that we can accept. I've essentially finished. All I was going to do then from here was then go through the conference. So that's the only
Can
part.
You email us that?
Yeah, whatever we
have heard, can you email it to us?
Yep.
I don't want to see it.
You don't want to see it?
Are you all right to accept the email of the PDARS report and for us to consider this item now and then we can adjourn the meeting?
Can you finish the meeting?
We finish the meeting, is that okay? Is that acceptable governance-wise? Yeah. Right.
Is everyone happy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all right? Okay. So with that, with your indulgence, we'll move on to, we'll suspend Brett's presentation. Move on to item 10, which is reports of officers. 10.1 through to 10.4, there is Neil from Planning and Development Services, Engineering Services, Community Development and Corporate Services. So we'll move on to 10.5, which is from the Office of the CEO. Item 10.5.1, Port Hedland International Airport Projects Update, with the recommendation there below that the committee note the Port Hedland International Airport Projects Update report for August 2014. Are there any points of clarification?
Points of clarification. So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Seconded. Thank you, Flo Bennett. All right, with that having been said and done, we'll move through to... I'll just pull it out. Okay, item 11, late items as permitted by presiding member. There is nil. Item 12, motions of which previous notice has been given. There's nil again. Confidential items, item 13, there is nil. Item 14, attendance via teleconference. Will there be a requirement for any of the members to attend by teleconference at the next meeting? No?
Okay.
Ken? Ken's an observer.
What's the date of the next meeting? Sorry.
1st of October.
1st of October, I should be fine.
Okay.
They'll be in the country.
We will note that Dr. King will be in attendance via teleconference. Item 15.
No, not by teleconference.
You'll be here, sorry. All right, don't worry.
Thanks.
Item 15, applications for leave of absence. Any around the table?
I'll be the 8th of September, the 15th of September, but I'll still be in town.
Yep.
Madam Chair, I'll be 30th of August to the 7th of September.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll be 11th of September to the 30th of September.
And I will be also an apology and absence from the
14th of September through to the 8th of October. Okay, with those noted, may I have somebody to move those, accept those? Thank you, Councillor Butson, seconder. Thank you, Councillor Gillingham. Item 16, closure. 16.1, the date of the next airport meeting of council will be held on Wednesday the 1st of October at 12:30 p.m. in council chambers. The meeting will be preceded by a public agenda briefing session that will commence at 12:15. And we move on to 16.2, closure, and I declare the meeting of this meeting closed at 1:21, with massive apologies to the presenters behind us for running